In 2016, Google launched something called the Redirect Method, a blueprint the company created and used to redirect web searchers looking for extremist content. So say someone searched for joining ISIS. When they clicked on a link that appeared to be about joining ISIS, they'd be redirected instead to pages diffusing their radical ideologies. When the project ended, Google decided to share the blueprint for creating redirect links. One person who took up the challenge was a certified Google partner or ad content creator named Patrick Burlingcat. He'd already been redirecting consumers to products he represented. Yes, they do that. He decided to redirect for a cause. The first one, drug abuse. So someone searching how to shoot up heroin would be redirected to drug rehabs. Then Patrick redirected people who were suicidal. He was shocked at how effective his links were. He wrote a New York Times op-ed, "I used Google for social engineering and it worked." But he also has concerns. He joins us from New York. Patrick, welcome.
Hi.
And start with the basics. You say Google exploits micro moments. This is when suddenly you're reaching for your mobile phone and it's like, I got to find something. And you, as a marketer, you want to get in there and do what?
Most micro moments happen on mobile devices. So Google is focused on equipping us with all of the data that we need and all of the tools that we need to maximize our visibility on a user's mobile device during a micro moment. So we aim for the number one position on mobile because the top two ad positions on mobile are all that matter. No one scrolls down below that.
Well, and just to further clarify, when I read you talking about ads, I was thinking, ads, are those things that pop up to the side, you know, shoes for sale or something? That's not what you're talking about. You're talking about links to something that looks like information, but it's actually your paid advertisement. Give me an example of how you would try to take advantage of somebody on a search.
Up until a few years ago, it was relatively easier to spot ads. You had the side rail, which contained all the advertisements, and then a few years ago, Google moved the advertisements above the organic results, and they made the icon that states that it's an ad harder to detect. So more than 50% of people still can't differentiate between an ad and an organic result.
So let's say somebody would be searching for what, and up would pop the link, the paid advertising link that you made that would say what? Give me an example.
Someone searching for any permutation of Apple or iPhone doing research or who are ready to purchase, we would make them question their product allegiance, say something like, searching for an iPhone, why not try the Samsung Galaxy or whatever way we wanted to sway them in the ad copy, and then sway them by redirecting them to a product page that was not Apple. So it went against their intent. That's a very basic example of swaying product allegiance with redirection.
Right. So they might see that and they think, oh, here's maybe Wired Magazine telling me about another alternative or something. And, you know, they've put in Apple phone and they get your link and it takes them to a Samsung website. First of all, are you ashamed of that?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like a living nightmare sometimes.
But oh.
What can I do?
Well, what you have done, which is sounds like a pretty darn good thing, although you've discovered some concerns about this redirecting. But you decided to take that skill that you had, redirecting people to clients, and redirect them to answers to social issues. And it sounds like you were prompted by reading about Kevin Hines, who jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge. He was suicidal. What was it that he said that made your light bulb go off?
When he said that if anyone had stopped him on his walk from the bus, he took the bus to the bridge and walked to the railing and just stepped off into the air. And he said he would have stopped if someone would have literally just stopped him or asked him a question. Cell phones with Google didn't exist when he attempted to do that, to do that in the late 90s. So I just started thinking about if he had a micro moment there, would he have been swayed?
You decided to do this, to start a campaign. As you write, suicidal people are underserved on Google. It's a strange sentence.
Correct.
But you noted that they had the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at the top of certain searches. So if somebody's searching wanting to commit suicide, there may be a phone number that pops up. Google forced autocomplete to not finish some of these searches, but you also wanted to redirect them on how not to take their life.
Correct.
What did you try to do?
I had a very basic website up that I created in literally 15 minutes. I just told the user to contact a hotline.
So you set up this simple website. You had these links. As you say, it was an ad because you had to pay for it. Your ad became the number one result when someone Googled with suicide attempt. You also had links that would find suicidal people physically located around the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right.
And you found that nearly one in three searchers who clicked your link, which is an advertisement, dialed that suicide hotline that they were redirected to. They were looking for how to kill themselves. Instead, you redirected them to a hotline, and 28% called that hotline.
Correct.
That must have been heart-stopping to realize that you might have stopped several suicide attempts by redirecting them away.
Yeah, I mean, there was not only the conversion rate number that I used to judge the efficacy of this. I could also see how long they were on the phone for. Many of these searches were on the phone for 20 or 30 minutes. I could see, the physical location of where they searched from, the search queries that they searched, how old they were, on and on, all of the data that us marketers have access to. And it really was staggering to see how long they were on the phone for. That was very surprising.
You have this information now about what you can possibly do to redirect somebody attempting to take their life away from that towards help. That's great. But then you realize anybody can redirect anybody anywhere.
Correct. There's no vetting process for one to be a redirector. Those ads that I put up with the website I created in 15 minutes that looked very amateurish, there was no vetting process. An ad never was disapproved. I was never contacted by anyone. The industry is so big now that now everything's automated and is vetted by algorithms. So I am very confident that a human being never went through my campaigns and checked that my phone number actually directed to the hotline. I'm speaking to someone in a delicate mindset.
Well, let's be more blunt. You could have done the exact opposite. You could redirect them to some smarmy, horrible site that says, go ahead, kill yourself.
Right. You could redirect these people to your own phone number.
To your own phone number.
Right.
You can answer the phone.
Right.
And tell them to kill themselves or sell them drugs or help them join ISIS.
Right. A few years ago, there was a woman, Leisha Ali, who was a victim of a very sophisticated form of redirection. She was an alcoholic and she was at the end of this very long drinking binge. She Googled, I need rehab. I think that was her exact search query. A marketer served her a redirect ad during her micro moment. She called the phone number to a offshore center, and the recipient of the call sold her on this idea of a rehab, and they got her on a plane before she sobered up, and she ended up at a destination that was quite different than what she was promised. It was a converted motel in the middle of nowhere, and she almost died due to her complex medical issues. There's many different industries that exploit these micro moments.
Well, look, we know the Russians used redirecting during the presidential campaign. What, Patrick Berlinghat, do you think should happen here? It could be of such good use.
My thought after this experiment is that Google should have never gotten into the game of redirection, and they should have never given the blueprint to anyone to use to redirect users however they want, but that damage is already done. What they need to focus on is providing the Google user with a free blueprint to be able to use Google defensively, because if more than 50% of people can't even differentiate an ad from an organic result, how can they be expected to vet information and fake news and redirection? If they have no understanding of their own micro moments and their relationship with their phone, how can they make decisions? Even though it can be used for virtuous purposes, I think it's a big mistake because what is deemed extreme can be adjusted by Google at any time, and it can be adjusted by anyone using redirection at any time.
Well, I think your point is that who gets to decide? It's pretty obvious with ISIS, but who gets to decide what's bad use of this redirect? And as you said, everybody should get a free blueprint, but it's not on how to redirect, it's how to figure all this out.
Right. That's never going to happen because this is a $100 billion industry. So Google would never provide information for the user to spot ads, to reduce their micro moments, to browse safely. So I think someone has to step up and offer this blueprint.
Well, Patrick, what are you doing in the next few weeks?
Yeah.
It could be you. But in the meantime, you've said since your op-ed, you've been approached by the father of someone who took their life. Might you still try to figure out a way to redirect suicidal people?
Would I do it again? Knowing the impact that's had, I would do it and send it to a proper website if I had $10,000 to put into it.
Well, let's see what happens. Patrick Berlinghett, the founder of the search engine marketing consulting firm Berlin SEM. His op-ed in the New York Times was, "I used Google for social engineering. It worked." Patrick, thank you so much.
Thank you.